Corey Larios is joining us on the phone. He's with Pablo Cruz. He's one of the founding members and on the road and coming to Southern Illinois July 27th, the Marion Civic Center, Wheel Rock for Food for the Marion Ministerial Alliance. It's a huge fundraiser. And quite frankly, Corey Larios joining us this morning. Really happy to talk to you. Loved your music since I was like 16 years old.
All right. That's great, man.
I packed your albums around everywhere I went. I played them at the youth center when I worked for teen groups. I was doing a tro, and when I was a disc jockey on a 50,000-watt rock station. If you're going to listen to me, you're going to hear something from Pablo Cruz because in 1977, not to be too coarse, but everything else kind of sucked.
Really? That's interesting, because I think there was some great stuff.
There was. A little.
There was some. I mean, nice compliment, but actually, 70s music was, and the thing is it's coming back. I mean, now it's dubbed yacht rock, and, we're playing with a lot of the bands that had hits in the 70s, and there's still just good, good players, good singers, and great tunes.
You're such a part of the sound itself between the vocals and the keyboards, because you listen to how many beginnings and where it's the keyboard. It's the sound of Pablo Cruz. It's distinct, and you're one of the people that makes it that way.
I guess so. Yeah,
that's
about right.
Because you had five singles in the top 25 on Billboard, but there were a lot more singles than that. I've got favorites. That they're even deeper in the album, but when you look at what you've done, you've been all over the country, been all over the world, but I think this is the first time you've been in Southern Illinois.
Yeah, it is. I think the closest we've been, and that's not Southern, is it St. Charles?
Yeah, St. Charles, yeah, Missouri.
No, this is then I got the wrong state.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was thinking, maybe St. Charles.
In Chicago, it's just outside of Chicago, like about 30 minutes. It's a theater.
Yeah.
And we've played there a bunch. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, well, you're about as far away from Chicago as you can get without crossing the river when you come here. So, we need to get something out of the way. Been talking about it since the mid-70s. Where'd you get the name? I think I know. I helped produce the Rock and Roll History of Rock and Roll special when I was quite young. I think I know, but I'm going to let you take charge.
Well, the name is an interesting thing, because the name was actually a nickname of a friend of mine in college. And he was from Bogota, Colombia, and he had this kind of very interesting, calming demeanor. And I used to call him Pablo Cruz, C-R-U-I-S-C, because the guy seemed to just sort of, he's a very bright guy, and he just seemed to kind of cruise through life. In a certain, with a certain tempo, so to speak. And so when we came to getting a name, we were throwing names in the hat, and it was definitely the time, there was, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, there was like Fleetwood Mac and Jethro Tull and, sort of two names. And so we threw it in the hat, and everybody seemed to like it, and so we just stuck with it. But that's really the true story of the name.
Right. And I said that was how it was told in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I think they got the college wrong. I think they said high school friend in the original special that was produced. But close enough, I guess.
How dare them.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. I was telling a friend of mine that I was going to do an interview with you. He says, here's something that, two things that I'd like you to talk to Corey Larios about. He says, one is the value of bands like Pablo Cruz and others that are traveling this country. You can talk about Taylor Swift and they're making $1 billion in concert, but the people who are keeping PA guys and light guys and concerts alive today are bands like Pablo Cruz. They're the ones who are keeping the industry alive.
I think it's true. I mean, as I said a little earlier, we work with Firefall a lot. We just finished doing several shows with Jimmy Messina and, Orleans and, Ambrosia. And we were all kind of, hitting the charts at the same time. And so Now everybody's out. We cross paths a lot. A lot of times we play together, which makes for great shows. For you know, with a lot of hits between the two bands or three bands. We just did a show with Don Felder and Firefall and Pablo Cruz, which is a great combination of music, because it's everybody has a lot of hits, and so you put it all together, and the audience is treated to an evening full of hits. But yeah, a lot of the guys are back out. I mean, we took a huge break, like over 20 years. I quit touring, and my partner Dave Jenkins went another way, and I went another way to do other things. And then eventually when we put it back together, we started to realize and actually really respect our repertoire, which is, I will say, is a fun repertoire to play at this point in our lives. It's not, it's somewhat challenging, and it's not candy or teen bop music. There's some pretty cool songs.
Well, the thing is, Corey, it makes me happy.
Good.
I mean, I read one of these things, and this has been years ago. Like I said, I've been a fan for many years, and they talk about, Pablo Cruz, the band name symbolizes being cool, and all the stuff that clearly didn't know what they were talking about, but it's still at the same time getting it, but weren't accurate. But with me, I mean, when you look at the fact that the reason why I pick you up and listen to you again and again is because I like the way your music makes me feel.
Good. Well, that's why we listen to records. It's like I constantly go back and listen to a lot of the artists that I used to listen to in the 70s when we were making records, even people like Joni Mitchell or Steely Dan, all those bands that were making just such great records, and it's harder to know what's happening today. There's certain artists I totally love. I love, I do like Taylor Swift's records. I like Harry Styles' records. They're great records, and there's a lot of new young artists that are coming up making great records. But then when you go back to the 70s, especially, it was just were a lot of great songs.
Now here's the other thing that a couple of people asked me, and want to point out to me. You can be an NFL player, and there's a lifespan for it, right? You can be a golfer. There's a lifespan for it. He says musicians like Pablo Cruz are a good illustration that you can go through your life as a musician and never stop getting better.
I think there's some truth to that. I was thinking about that, because I used to be an avid skier, snow skier, water skier, and it's a little tough now, it's just I'm more nervous about getting up on skis just because I don't want to wipe out. And I was thinking, what am I still good at, And it really is, playing the piano. I mean, and that goes for everybody in our band. I mean, everybody, I think to your point, we do get better and better. And we keep, you don't stop, That's the thing about it is you just, people will come to me and say all the time, are you going to retire? And it's like, why? It's like we're not out on the road like we were. We're not doing 28 days and 30 days, 28 shows and 30 nights. It's definitely way more relaxed. So it's great fun to come back to that repertoire. We just played in Denver last weekend and in Aspen, and it was great crowds and great fun. And it sort of reminds you or reminds us that, this music stood the test of time, and it's fun to play.
And it's fun to listen to over and over again. I mean, I enjoy it. You get a feel for it. I mean, and it's part of my well, they call it what? The playlist of your life. You're part of my playlist of life and have been since I was 16 and carted your records around in a cardboard box. So I'd make sure I have them, because there was only so many times during 1977 that you could play Torn Between Two Lovers and Undercover Angel and I'm Your Boogeyman. There just became a point where you had to come out and say, look, I've got some other songs I want to play tonight, and here's Love Is Going to Find a Way, here's Cruel Love, here's What You're Going to Do, I Want You Tonight, there's Lifeline, but one of my absolute favorites, A Place in the Sun.
Did you get into the first album, the green album?
The one that was made in 1973?
It was actually made in we released in 75. It had a... that was the time of AOR radio, album-oriented radio, and we had a song on there called Ocean Breeze that became actually was Sleeper, because the label didn't want to release it because it was 12 or 13 minutes long. And we were on A&M Records, and Jerry Moss, who was the M of A&M, came back and said, "We can't put this out. You put three singles on this." And our manager fought for it, the producer fought for it, and ironically, it really actually was the first calling card for Pablo Cruz, because it got a lot of album-oriented radio attention.
That's now on my playlist for tonight. I'm going to be listening to that tonight.
It's a big piece. It's got a big, like a 3-minute piano intro. And then David Page from Toto, when he was 21, did the orchestrations for the orchestra and conducted it for us. There's some amazing sessions, there's some really good stuff on it. It's fun for us to go back. We get away from our records and we don't listen to them. And then you go back and listen, you go, "Geez, I can't even believe I played that."
Well, with you can bang a piano out. I mean, you want to listen to some of the ends where you're really going at it. I mean, it's a lot of fun stuff. You can get better and better. Here's the other thing. You talked a couple of moments ago about you and David Jenkins kind of going separate ways. And I started reading about your history after you separated. You went on and did your own thing. And here's the thing. I had to break out the calculator to start counting how many movie themes and intros you have done for movies, because I kind of looks like I got up to about 64 TV scores, films, themes. You have been a very busy guy for a long time on something that a lot of people may not have known about, all the way back to Max Headroom in 1987 and the Tower films and Boiling Point and Child's Play, where you created a feel music for these films and TV shows. Hundreds.
Yeah, well, I got married in 1982, and after I got married, I went out on a tour, and I was like, "I'm either going to be married or be on tour." And I always had the desire to write for film and TV. And fortunately, I got a good agent, and they got me some great shows. I mean, the one show that was just amazing to work on was Baywatch.
Yeah.
We did that for, I had a partner, and we built a little company around called Music Works, and we were doing tons of stuff. And
11 seasons and 300 episodes your music's featured.
Yeah. And then we just went back in, and Fremantle, who owns the show, wanted to put it out again, and they remastered all of the visuals, and we went back in and replaced all the songs, like almost 400 songs, and that was in like 2017 or 18. And so now it's all of a sudden, become super popular around the world again. That was a great show to work on.
And you do theme sounds too, the way, I mean, CBS Productions and Starz logo all feature your theme?
Yeah, CBS is still playing it.
Well, that's good for the monthly check, right?
It's kind of fun. Yeah, it is. It is. It's the thing that about TV music, it's just like an annuity, as long as it's being played somewhere, it's getting credited. So it was a lot of challenge. It was completely the opposite of being on stage and playing an hour and a half and everybody loves you, and you get off stage and you're just having a ball with your band and meeting people. TV's like really tedious. You're just stuck in a room by yourself. Probably not unlike what you do as a jock. It's just you against the world, and you're sitting there and you have deadlines, serious deadlines.
But you also get to perfect it.
Yeah, no. And thanks to technology, thanks to all the cool stuff that's come towards musicians these days, it's pretty, you get it dialed in, it can go down pretty quick.
Well, the early 70s, as you said a couple of moments ago, why do you still do this? Why do you go out on the road? It's hard.
Like I said earlier, we're not doing the kind of, the strenuous scheduling that we used to do. I mean, we would do, somewhere but probably 25 shows inside of a month. It's just this different city every night. You didn't even know where you were. but Y is much more relaxed, and we maybe do 50 plus shows a year, and it's kind of a gift to have this repertoire. I mean, Dave Jenkins and I wrote all the music, and so, you know, it's kind of, it's under our hands, and we've got a great band. We have three really solid guys that have stood by the band and supported the repertoire, and they have, you know, they have amazing histories too. They're all, you know, the drummer was with Jennifer Lopez, and Robbie, who's doing a lot of the singing, was with the Wall tour with Roger Waters, did all the David Gilmour stuff for six seasons, and our bass player was with Barry Manilow and Air Supply and a bunch of different people. So these guys are all like A players. So people get a really, you know, they get quite the great show when we get up on stage, because there's a lot of virtuosity, and we don't ever play everything the same exact. It's not, we're not using tracks, it's, you know, and we all sing, so it's pretty great. But I mean, in answer to your question, it's you know, yeah, you could retire. I could probably just go out to dinner and go to social events, you know, till the day I die. But there's nothing like being able to have that access to that repertoire and get out in front of audiences that, you know, saw us back in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, it's kind of a gift. And I always say, I don't play golf, you know. I mean, I live on a golf course, but I don't play. So
right.
It's like our golf game, you know. It's you know, that's kind of, everybody feels that way. And I know a lot of guys, you know, that are, you know, still out there banging around, you know, not banging, but playing, and been having some great success. Some of the, you know, bigger bands, and lots of the midline guys, everybody sort of has the same opinion. It's like, well, if I can do this, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Like I said.
And there's, you know, a buzz. You get a buzz from the people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, Saturday night in Denver was, or I guess it was Friday night in Denver, it was a full house, and these people were just amped, you know. And we don't know necessarily how it's going to go, to be honest with you, because, I mean, it's not, you don't know how you're going to draw in some of these places, because we're going into places that, like you said, we've never been to Marion.
Right.
Hopeful, you know, that will draw, you know, a good crowd. Sounds like it's a great event and a great, you know,
great cause, yeah. Hey, so, it's been a real pleasure, and I've abused your goodwill when it came to, I told you 10 minutes, and I fibbed. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I appreciate your enthusiasm. I appreciate that you've been a fan for a long time, but you got to go find, it's just called Pablo Cruz. It's a green album with it. It's got a gorilla on the cover. And it is some great. That was our maiden voyage at A&M.
Well, then I'm going to go out and listen to that this afternoon. I guarantee it. Corey Larios. I plan on it. If all things allow, you know how life is after you get to a certain age. But Saturday the 27th, Marion Civic Center, seats still available. And, of course, that the band is paid for by a benefactor. All the ticket sales go to help food. Buy food for the Marion Ministerial Alliance. There's never been a bigger demand, and Corey and his band are helping meet that and help out. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you on the 27th of July, Corey.
Yeah, same here. Thanks so much, Tom, for taking the time and setting up the interview.